The Lord be with you.
With your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. And Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. A good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. A hired hand who is not a shepherd and whose sheep are not his own sees a wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away, and the wolf catches and scatters them. This is because he works for pay and has no concern for the sheep. But I am the good shepherd. I know mine and mine know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I will lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. These also I must lead, and they will hear my voice. And there will be one flock and one shepherd. This is why the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me. I lay it down on my own. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. This command I have received from my Father. The Gospel of the Lord. This Gospel about the Good Shepherd is unique to John. The whole text we have here about Jesus being the Good Shepherd, not mentioned in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. So this is a uniquely Johannine teaching for us today. As you know, in the Gospel of John, Jesus is portrayed as always being very powerful. It's the divine Jesus that is emphasized in the Gospel of John, and therefore Jesus says, no one takes my life from me. I lay down my life and I take it up again. I have power to do that. Nobody has power over me. That's very much, you'll find it throughout the Gospel of John, that's very much the Johannine Jesus. Let me look for a few moments at understanding the shepherd. In Hebrew history, if you look back in the Bible, you will find many references to the shepherd. And the shepherd in the Hebrew tradition was a very revered person. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Rachel were all shepherds. Cain and Abel, who were the first children of Adam and Eve in the holy myth of the book of Genesis. Remember in chapter 4, Cain tills the soil. He becomes a farmer. Abel becomes a shepherd, and they bring their gifts to God, and the Lord prefers the gift of the shepherd from Abel, and then Cain kills Abel. Remember that story? It's in chapter 4 there in the book of Genesis. Remember Joseph with the technicolor, miraculous coat? A shepherd, Joseph, the son of Jacob. The sons of Jacob were shepherds. Therefore, shepherd in the Hebrew tradition was not a job. It was a way of life. It was a vocation. To be a shepherd was something very revered, a very honorable vocation in the Hebrew tradition. Now, Jesus goes on to say, but I am the good shepherd, and I will lay down my life for the sheep. Now, the Latin word is pastor, shepherd. It's difficult enough for me not to be aware of God's presence in my lifestyle. I mean, I'm in church every day. My office is near the church. I'm at the hospital visiting people who are sick, who want to see a priest. When I have baptisms, I see the miracle of God and the child. In First Communions, the incredible revelation of beauty in the children, God's presence in the children. When I officiate at marriages, I see the wonder of God in this incredible gift of one person to another in love. And when a person is dying, I invoke the presence of God, even when I'm at a cocktail hour, and somehow, in a curious way, when people have a few drinks, they become very religious. This is true. I hear guys saying, oh, when I was young, I used to serve Mass for Father Murphy. Oh, yeah. My mother used to say the rosary every day. She was very religious. When people have a few drinks, religion becomes a preferred piece of conversation. Even when I play golf, by the time I'm in the third hole, somebody is telling me his wife doesn't understand him or his teenagers are in trouble or something. So it's a lifestyle. It's the lifestyle of the shepherd, and it makes me conscious of God's presence in all the events of life. It's difficult for me to avoid God's presence. When people talk to me, they're talking about God. When I read, I'm reading theology or reading something about Scripture. So I kind of live in the presence of God. It's difficult for me to get away from it. On my good days, I celebrate God's presence. On my bad days, God consoles me and sustains me. Now that's very much, if you look back in the Hebrew tradition, the life of the shepherd. And Jesus says, I am the good shepherd because I lay down my life for the sheep. And the sheep follow him. It says he knows the sheep. Now in biblical language, especially in the Gospel of John, to know somebody is a profound statement of insight and belonging. He calls each by name. He holds them together. If you look at the Gospel of Luke in chapter 16 and 18 in Matthew, there's a very interesting story you're familiar with. And that is a man has 100 sheep and one wanders off. And he goes off to find the one who is lost. And when he finds the lost sheep and brings him back, there is more rejoicing now over the one which was lost than over the 99 who are never lost. Why? Because without the one, the flock, the family, the community is incomplete. It's not the one, it's the community which is wounded and incomplete while the one is gone. And that's a biblical insight into the notion of shepherding. So what does it teach us? When Jesus says he's the good shepherd, the shepherd leads the sheep. In good times and in bad times, the shepherd leads the sheep. He is faithful, but he goes first. So the shepherd knows all the travails of life. He will lead them through the desert. He will lead them in the storms. He will lead them when the land is dry and there is no water and there is no food. He will lead them to a place of pasture, but he will go through the experience himself. So the true shepherd is one who somehow belongs to the human experience of the community. Now that's to understand the presence of God in our lives. That the shepherd walks before us wherever you find yourself in your life. Wherever you find yourself in your life, the shepherd is leading you. And this great statement of faith and confidence in the presence of the good shepherd. He knows betrayal. He knows what it is to be disappointed. He knows suffering. He knows division. He also knows miracle. He knows delight. He knows that somehow everything in life has its own teaching and its own revelation. He knows life. He knows death. He knows light and darkness. And we are all led in life by the Good Shepherd. He knows his sheep, and he calls each by name. On Friday, I was down in Redondo Beach visiting a family, and Patrick Welsh, this young man, 51 years old, died. He was struggling with cancer for the last few years, and he had a fierce battle with his cancer, and finally he died on Friday night. His father died 6 months ago, and now we gathered around his son's bedside with his wife, his children, his siblings, and his wife, Joanne, who buried her husband 6 months ago. And we prayed and we handed him over to the Lord, and we were conscious of the presence of the Good Shepherd. It was a great act of faith. God is with you. Wherever you are, God is with you. And I remembered, as we prayed over Patrick, that 6 months ago when his father died and we did his burial up at Lodi, that the practice there appears to be that they wait, all the family waits around the grave while they lower the casket into the grave. We don't do that much here, but they do that up there. So we all stood around the grave, and very slowly they lowered the casket into the grave. And this young man was terminally ill with cancer and knew that his days were numbered, stood at the grave of his father, and he looked deep into that grave, and he saw his father being buried, knowing that sometime in the near future, he himself would follow his father. It was a time of enormous faith. I thought about that as we prayed over Patrick. We'll find times like this where if you pause, take a second look, you will feel your faith teaching you the presence of the Good Shepherd. It was a powerful image for me to teach me about the light and darkness of life, how the Shepherd walks before us, calls each of us by name, knows our pain, knows our suffering, and calls us to belong. It's in the sacrifice that community happens. We'll all celebrate, but the measure of community is going to be measured by what happens in challenging and difficult times. Times when we have to forgive. Times when we have to understand, where we have to belong. Times when we have to be patient. Why the shepherd walks into the lives of the sheep and leads them on a journey which he himself knows, so it is for the followers of the shepherd. We too have to walk in the footsteps of the others in light and in darkness, in difficult times. It's a good meditation to lead us to be bearers of community in a church, in a family, in a gathering of friends, to listen, to feel, to belong, to sense, to understand, and to take on the pain, the struggles, the uniqueness, the difference that each of us gifts the other. The difference for those who have faith, the difference, that's the gift. The Native American Hopi Indians. In their wisdom, the elders say this: the day of the lone wolf is over. We are saved by community. The Good Shepherd. Amen.